Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What does our sign read this week? A tad long, isn't it? Saved by grace alone requires acts of faith on my part every day. Now, some might read that and say, that's kind of dictatory. After all, isn't grace God's free gift? And it is. So how can grace require anything of us? The question's been around since Jesus walked the earth. Nicodemus in our text today was perplexed when Jesus told him that he had to, in order to gain eternal life, he must be born from above. He thought Jesus was giving him an unsolvable riddle. Jesus is using wind as an analogy of how God's Spirit works in the life of the believer. Just as you cannot see the wind, its presence is evident in the movement of the wind. Just as you cannot see the Spirit, its presence is evident in the lives of the believer. The problem we might have is often we think of faith as a noun, something that we can possess. But faith comes to us from God's Spirit, and it cannot be separated from His Spirit, which always then is active, guiding, teaching, leading, urging us to live life in the service of God's kingdom. If we reject God's Spirit, our faith is worthless. As James writes, "For just as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." Therefore, in the life of the believer, faith is a verb. It's action. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian living in America at the time where Hitler was rising to power, his American friends begged him to stay in the States, and Bonhoeffer was determined to return to Germany and speak out against Hitler and the Nazi Party. And just as his friends feared, it wasn't long before Bonhoeffer was arrested and put into a concentration camp. Just days before the Allied forces liberated the camp commander gave his command to execute Bonhoeffer. During his imprisonment, he wrote several books. One still circulates, The Cost of Discipleship. And he writes, "No one should be surprised at the difficulty of faith. If you believe, you must take the first step. That step leads to Christ. If you don't believe, take the step all the same. No one wants to know about your faith or unbelief. Your orders are to perform acts of obedience on the spot. Then you will find yourself in a situation where faith becomes possible and where faith exists in the true sense of the word." So what he's saying is to us is true faith exists only in the midst of action. Now, we may not fully understand what good praying is, or worship, or being involved in the life of the church community. But in the midst of our involvement, our relationship with God grows and truly becomes alive. Look at the faith in the people of our lessons today. Abraham and Sarah, Paul and Jesus, their response to God's call was an act of obedience. Without acting on what we believe, our faith will become only a pious thought. First, obey. Do an external work. Renounce your attachments that are obstacles and keeps you from acting on your faith. Unless we are prepared and willing to enter into a situation where we act out our faith, faith will be unreal. Soon after I came to St. Paul, a family came to me and wanted to know if I would bury their uncle. I asked what church he attended, because that always gives me a clue as to what kind of service I would do. But after some awkward silence, the nephew said, that was the problem. My uncle, he said, was a man of faith, but he didn't go to church. And we have already gone to three pastors who declined the funeral. And then he said, I believe he may have been baptized at your church here and hope that you would do the service. Well, being their fourth choice, I thought maybe I could ask a couple more questions. You say your uncle was a man of faith. In what ways did he show his faith? Well, no one could answer that question, but they said he was a quiet man, never hurt anyone, and he was a great uncle. Of course, I did the funeral, because it's true. A funeral, a worship service, is more for the living, and it's not my place to judge. But how sad when a family has to shop for a pastor when a loved one dies. Have you read the obituaries lately? Have you ever noticed lately? The church doesn't hold much influence even there anymore. It's not uncommon to read an obituary and find no commitment whatsoever as to a worship service. Faith indeed lifts us up above the realities that we experience. And equally so, there are those times when we must trudge ahead almost blindly in obedience to God and in confidence that He will provide what is necessary to sustain us. In the classic book, Pilgrim's Progress, reason and faith are depicted as traveling companions walking the earth together, guiding a man named Pilgrim. Reason is seen as a strong knight clad in armor and power. Faith is dressed as an angel in a white robe. The two come upon a great canyon, too wide to jump over, and so deep they can't see the bottom. Reason ponders the vast chasm and tells Pilgrim they can't go any farther. They must turn around, go back. But Faith invites Pilgrim to take her hand, and she spreads her beautiful wings and lifts them up above the gorge, and they continue on their journey. Yes, reason is a good traveling companion in life and should by all means travel with reason as far as it will take us. But remember, we don't have to stop there. Faith gives us the courage to see what reason cannot. True faith does not blind us to reality, but assures us that God loves us enough to give His Son to save us. Life is tough. That's reality. Abraham and Sarah faced a tough decision, leaving their homeland to follow God's promise to a new land. Jesus faced the cross, a tough way to show how much He loves us. The disciples faced persecution to keep the good news of God's love spreading. And the church exists today because people of faith live out their belief in real, real ways. In doing so, we pass down to our next generation the legacy of faithfulness of which we are called. Amen.